Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
That is precious. Guys, thank you for allowing us. I would like this, just want to say this. I know I need a haircut. So please don't tell me I need a haircut. I've been trying for a month. But I normally cut Bob's hair, but I did bring Bob in this week to give me a haircut. I may be calling you, Cheryl, this week. So I've been trying, but I brought Bob in to give me a haircut today, and he's going to demonstrate a haircut on the platform in front of you. He's looking at me like, I am? No, hopefully I will have one by the time I see you next. Let me share with you. This couple got into our lives and deep into our heart in 2010. I believe it was actually 08 is the first time I went there and I met you. But they got so deep in our hearts. And Mary brought 350 chocolate chip cookies with her today to feed the whole congregation. No, they wouldn't come through TSA. TSA wouldn't let you bring those in. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So that's what it is. She had to give it to all the TSA agents. These two are so precious to me, but I'm not going to be selfish about it. To all of you who are Team Panama of any year, would you stand to your feet? And I want you to be able to look. All of you have been to Panama with us. Team Panama at any time. Now, and they're not all here. Many are away today because we've had probably at least two dozen more that don't attend this church or attend at some point. But that is Team Panama, and we love Bob and Mary. Bob and Mary are both the leaders of this ministry. They're in Corundu. When we speak about Corundu, they are our heart. This is the heartbeat. I will tell you one thing have a seat. Go ahead and have a seat. Dave Bundy said to me the first time I took Dave down there. And Dave is a man of missions. If you don't know Dave, Dave was on the platform the Sunday we got back. 3 weeks later, Dave and Rhonda lost their 33-year-old son in a tree accident and crushed him. 3 weeks after we got back. Before that happened, I really believe God put Dave and Mike Bundy on that trip because God was going to encircle them again with people of like heart and like mind. And one of the things that took place was in that trip, as we were getting ready to leave the last night, Dave Bundy called me to his and Mike's room. They brothers shared rooms. And I went into their room. I was just sitting there talking to him. And Dave Bundy, this is before losing Matt, put his head down. He said, I want you to know something. I think Bob Gunn is the greatest man I've ever met. That's after spending just five days with Bob and Mary. He just put his head down. Tears were in his eyes. And I hear Mike over on the bed say, I completely agree. That's how, if you would ever see the scope of the ministry, not only the school into Corundu and the change that's taken place in Corundu, because God placed this family there that loves those families so much in Corundu. Now we can walk the streets of Corundu. When I first went, we could not walk the streets of Corundu. We can now walk our teams safely and in numbers, walk the streets of Corundu and do projects there for Anna at her apartment and so on. This has so transformed our lives. But because of this ministry, do you remember Tom? Do you remember the story about Tom? Really quick. Tom stood at the front of this platform. I didn't even know who he was. And he told me, I'm going with you, preacher. I'm going with you. Please don't call me preacher. I let him do it just because he was a grouch, you know, and I didn't want to tell him not to. I told him that 1,000 times. You're the grouchiest man I've ever met. You need Jesus, you know. So finally, because of Corundu, Tom gave back. And after a Sunday morning service, and I gave an opportunity for people to accept Christ, Tom came up, same place, preacher, I'm in. I said, what does that mean? He said, same thing I asked him, you know, when he wanted to go to Corundu. I said, what does that mean? He said, I asked Jesus into my heart. I prayed with you today. I asked him to come into my heart. And I want you to know, God transformed his life. And right before he died, Yes, give the Lord a huge hand. You were there, Donna. You know what this trip meant. And it's trips like these. Right before he went, he was diagnosed with brain cancer, weeks to live. He skipped his last two chemotherapy because he said, I have to go back to the nation that gave me the real Jesus. And I want to say goodbye to Jose. And he did. We almost couldn't get him on that plane. We almost didn't get him back. And he died just a matter of a few weeks later, right, Sherry? It wasn't just a couple months later. But Tom gave his life to Jesus Christ because of what God did through this ministry. You never know the wake you're going to create. It starts with a ripple, and it just builds. Would you welcome to this platform? I want Bob and Mary both to come up to this platform, and then I'll walk Mary back down. If you would, come up to this platform. It is my honor to introduce to you Bob and Mary Gunn, our family in Panama. And I'll take you back down. There you go.
Yes, I need a mic, right?
Yes, you do. Mike will give you a mic. There you go. Thank you.
Okay, I've been sitting here thinking, and that's a miracle that I'm thinking, that I don't think I want to stand up, so I'm just going to sit right here.
Go right ahead.
Because I'll tell you why. I'd like you to think about the fact that we're just like in our living room, okay? We're just in the living room. We're just going to have a little talk.
That's great.
And our Father's here.
Amen.
So this is his house. So
that's good.
You know, here we are, family. And I think God has something to say to us today. You agree with that? I mean, we're not just here because of habit. We're here partly because of habit. There are good habits. But we're here because we really believe that God wants to say something to us. God's already spoken to me today. Interestingly enough, the last few weeks I've been thinking a lot about love. And so I walk in here and what do I see? So apparently you've been thinking about the same thing. So a few weeks ago I asked our English, we have English and Spanish Sunday school classes in our church. And I asked our English Sunday school class, if you were to choose one word to describe biblical Christianity, and there's a big difference between cultural Christianity, where people don't have a real knowledge of the Lord, and biblical Christianity, where people really know the Lord and understand the scriptures. If you were to describe biblical Christianity in one word, what word would you choose? And we had all different kinds of ideas, but this is my word. And I really believe this. I believe that biblical Christianity is best described by this one single word. Now, let's take a look at the reason why I believe that. Here we go. Give us one more. I usually have a clicker, so my clicker is sitting back there. Okay. Starts out with God's definition about himself. God is love. What more do you need to say? God is love. Secondly, he tells us that we're supposed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, strength, all that's within us. Now, that's a challenge for me. I don't know about you. The scriptures make it very clear, love not the world, neither the things of the world, etc., etc. So it's real easy to love everything else with all our hearts rather than God. Another thing, God says that he loves the world. John 3:16, you all know that verse. And that's me. I'm part of the world. Another thing, very interesting. It says, if you love me, you'll obey me. That's probably the most difficult one of all for me. I love the Lord with all my heart. I think with all my heart. I really love him, but I don't always obey him. But I want to, and I desperately want to. And then you'll notice it says we're supposed to love one another, and I'm sure that you've talked a lot about that here in your fellowship. If there's anything that describes Pastor Barry to me, is that he's a loving guy. He's always hugging and, well, I won't go into all that. Okay. And then lastly, and this is what's so amazing about biblical Christianity as opposed to some of the other major religions of the world, we're supposed to love our neighbor, our enemies. Can you imagine? So the idea is that we just don't love the lovely, but we love everybody, and even those that don't love us, that hate us. Now, that's the reason we're in Kirundo. Okay? We're in Kirundo not because there's a great need. We're not in Kirundo because God just said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and so on. The love of Christ is what constrains us. That's why we're there. We're there because God has put a love in our hearts for these people. I'm going to backtrack a little bit. Mary and I, in 1970, went to live with an indigenous group in Panama, unknown group, unreached group, a group that had no written language, and etc. And so we had the privilege, the Gunn family, our family, had the privilege of reducing the language to writing, giving them alphabet, grammar, translating the scriptures, hymn books, etc., for them. Now, I don't know about you, but we're not, well, Mary's smarter than I am, but we're not like super, super smart people, okay? And so the idea of going and analyzing an unwritten language and living with a group of indigenous people totally isolated, I mean, we didn't have a clue, really, how you do that, except we had training, but we'd never done anything like this before. So we thought about it, and we thought, okay, Lord, what is it that we want to trust you for? And one of my favorite sayings, if you aim at nothing, you'll be sure to hit it. Okay? So if you have no goals, if you don't aim at anything, then, you know. And so we decided, okay, there are three things that we're going to trust God for. And all three of them were like beyond our ability. The first one was this one. We were going to trust God to put a love in our hearts for those people. We didn't know them. We didn't speak their language. A lot of them were dirty. They weren't particularly lovable. But we knew that God loved them and that God could put in our hearts a deep love for those people. Secondly, okay, Lord, you're going to have to help us learn this language. We've got to reduce it to writing. We've got to figure out how to manage the language and so on. Because there's no way that we can translate the scriptures unless we learn the language. So we're going to trust you to enable us to learn the language, translate the scriptures, etc. The third one, which is the most radical one of all, because these people, they don't live in villages and they don't really relate to each other in communities and so on. They truly are every man's an island. Okay? Nobody really reacts and interacts with each other like we're accustomed to doing. So we said, okay, Lord, what we want to trust you for is a body of believers that loves you, loves each other, and interacts with each other. And that seemed like just something impossible. Okay. God's done it. God's done it. And when I think about and talk about the Bugleres, tears come to our eyes because these are people that we've lived with and love and so on and so forth. Now, we finished that project up in 1980-something. Mary remembers all the dates. I don't even remember my grandkids' birthdays, but she does. Okay. And we thought, okay, now, Lord, what do you want us to do next? And Panama had become our home. And as it turned out, God moved us into Kirundo. Now, the reason I told you about the Bugleres is because in many ways what's happening in Kirundo is like our second tribe. Can I put it that way? Same deal. We didn't know those people. We needed God to give us a love for them, and really has. And, you know, if you've been there, how much these people wiggle their way into your lives, and you begin to love them too. So God has given us the love for them. And we want to translate the scriptures, not literally write it down, but we want to put the scriptures for the people in Kirundo in a practical way that they can actually understand and apply the scriptures to their everyday lives. And believe me, that's a very different culture. It's a different culture from Panama City, per se. And so these people need to understand the scriptures. through their cultural grid. And that's one of the things that we're trusting God for. And then lastly, and more importantly, what we really want to see is that people come to know the Lord, love each other, and so on and so forth. Let me tell you a couple of stories. The other day, I was talking to the women that cook in the kitchen. Anna, the big black lady, you know, that a lot of you know, just a precious, precious person. Okay, Anna and two others work in the kitchen. And they were really upset, really upset. And they came to me and ventilated and so on. And I said, well, now, what's the problem? Well, we're not appreciated. What do you mean you're not appreciated? Man, we eat your meals every day. We love the meals, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It's so interesting to recognize that they, even though we love them, they didn't feel loved. Think about that. It's not whether or not we love people. It's whether or not they understand that we love them, whether they sense that we love them. You know, it's a lot like your friends and neighbors, you know. God loves them dearly, but they don't sense that. They don't get it. It's foreign to them. And so we had a long talk, and afterwards, you know, we all hugged and, you know, all the stuff you do, especially in Latin America. You can hug and you don't have to go to jail or anything you do here. Okay, but we had a great time, and I just said to them, I said, you know, it's not just that God loves you, and it's not just that that I love you, which I really do, but also you need to really realize that you need to love each other. And that makes all the difference in the world with regard to a ministry. Now, one of the reasons that we're in Kurundu, and really the main reason, is that people come to have a personal faith in Christ. We have a school there, many of you know that, and I've often said, if we were just there to run a school, hey, there's a school a couple of blocks down the street, it's a public school, they don't do a very good job, but we're not there just to run a school. And we're not there just to feed people and even medical work or whatever, although it's all really important. It's a door opener. But the real reason we're there is that we want people to come to know Jesus Christ personally. Now, I want to tell you one of the most profound incidents that ever happened in my life. And perhaps you've had incidents in your life that you can just never forget. They're indelible. They're just burned into your memory. You'll never forget them as long as you live. This is one of them for me. Our major Buglede translator that worked with us in the translation of the scriptures is named Baldomero. One day, Baldomero and I were having a conversation. And Baldo said to me, Robert, that's my name. He says, Roberto, does your father know the Lord? Now, my dad actually spent 6 months in Panama with us after my mom passed away. And Baldo and he got to know each other, no common language, but, you know, we could interpret and so on. And so I said, well, Baldo, you know my dad. You know that he knows the Lord. So he thought a little bit, and he said, Roberto, what about your grandfather? Did he know the Lord? And I said, well, my grandfather was a very staunch believer, loved the Lord with all his heart, and I knew him well. So, yeah, you know where I'm going. What about your great-grandfather? I said, Baldo, you know, I have a picture when I was a little boy with my great-grandfather, but I didn't know him. But he was a Mennonite. They were German Jews that came from Russia for religious freedom. And they were Mennonites, and every assumption I have is that my great-grandfather knew the Lord. What about your great-great-grandfather? I don't even know who he was. Okay, so I can't tell you. And then he got very serious, and he said something that I'll never forget in all my life. And this is because his father was someone that Mary and I had met just a couple of years before his father passed away. He was a typical, like, Indian, you know, hunts with a bow and arrow, a witch doctor, shaman type that uses the herbs and all that stuff from just... And a muscular man, just a real he-man. Baldo, of course, had come to know the Lord, and he said, look, your family has had the gospel for at least four generations. My father died without knowing Christ. What took you so long to get here? What do you do with that? You can see why. I'll never forget that as long as I live. I don't want that to happen in Corundu. I don't want that to happen in my neighborhood. Okay? And that's the reason why we're involved in what we're involved in. It's not just to, you know, help people or whatever, but we are absolutely, as the body of Christ, and our Father's here listening and he's here with us, we are here to make absolutely sure to the extent that we can with the energy and the capability and the opportunities that God gives us to make sure that people have an opportunity to make a choice. And if they choose not to follow Christ, then, you know, we've been faithful. Last comment. You know, what Pastor Barry told me is I have to close right at 12, something like that. Okay. Now, he took about 10 minutes of my time at the beginning. You notice that. But that's okay. I'm just kidding. Okay. Let me just say something that I just really believe with all my heart. You know, I think this is true in America. I know this is true in Panama. Is that people are really results-oriented. Have you noticed that? Are you that way? In every area. And it creeps into our ministry as well. So a lot of people, to be successful as a church, it's that you got to be full, or you have to have X number of people who have come to know the Lord, or whatever. And all of that's great, and it's good. The problem is, if we think that's our responsibility, it's not biblical. That's the problem. So what is our responsibility? As I read the scriptures, our responsibility is to be found faithful, to be faithful, and God's responsibility is to produce the results. So if you're faithfully sharing Christ with your neighbor, and your neighbor doesn't come to know the Lord, blame God. It's his problem. Okay? I'm sorry, that sounds weird to say it that way, but that's the truth. Because you don't kick anybody or convince anybody. You don't kick people into heaven. You don't convince people that they need to accept the Lord. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. But what God wants from us is to be just constantly faithful. That's a challenge. There are all kinds of other things that, you know, pull our attention away. So my charge to you, and this basically is the extension of what we want to say in our own family, is that just be faithful. Share the scriptures, live it, and so on, and then just completely leave the results to the Lord. And you know, when you do that, it takes away a lot of the stress. And you know another thing it takes away? Bragging. Isn't that interesting? You don't brag about how great things are because you don't have anything to do with it other than just being faithful. So it puts everything into a biblical perspective, which is very different than what we often see. Now, you're supposed to start with this, but I wanted to end with this because I want to make sure you get it and that you remember. Mary and I just want to thank you as a congregation, as a fellowship, so much for your involvement in our lives and the lives of people in Panama, and especially Corundu. Y'all have been, y'all, I'm not from the South, but all of you, okay, y'all have been an amazing blessing to us and continue to be so. And we just want to thank you for that. And I know that Corundu is not your only point of ministry. So, you know, I don't know all the other areas that you're involved in, but I know they'd say the same thing. So maybe I'm their representative. But the idea of reaching out and ministering to other people and so on is something that's in the DNA of this church. And I just thank you for that. So, with your permission, I'm going to pray, and if you don't give it, I will anyway. Okay, so here we go. Father, thank you for being here with us. We don't have to invite you to come because we're here. And you promised that where your people are, there you are. And indeed, even where your people aren't, you're still there because you're omnipresent, and we thank you for that. I thank you that you're all-powerful, that you can do anything. You can work in the lives of people in ways that are just beyond our wildest imagination. And I thank you that your love, as the scriptures say, reaches to the vanishing point. There's no limit. You can go as high or low or to the right or to the left, as far as you want to go in any direction, and your love extends there. And you love us, and that's amazing. So thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for the way you've blessed us. Thank you even for the hard times that you bring into our lives that cause us to love you and trust you more. And I thank you for this congregation, for these lovely people. I pray that you will, just in a special way, bless them because of their obedience. I thank you that you promised that for those that obey you, that walk uprightly, you will bless them. And so I pray that you'll just enable them to fulfill their own spiritual expectations and walk with you and love you with all their hearts. And then, Lord, I know that you will use them in an amazing way in this community, and I thank you for that. Thanks for our time together, and we look forward to whatever you have for us the rest of this day. In the lovely name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. And just don't tell anybody that it's okay to just sit down, because I'm sure the rest of the people are not.
Oh, I've done that.
You've done it?
Oh, I've done that. There are good days to just sit down. Thank you, buddy. You can go ahead and take that back over there if you want to. Give Bob and Mary a huge hand. Will you do that? I love these guys. I genuinely, Gina and I and our girls love you. You just have no idea how, when we get to talking about when we're going next, and by the way, that is going to be, this is a tentative date that I was given today. This sounds good at this point. If you are interested in Panama 2019, we're looking at February 16th, a departure date at this point. February 16th. It should be a Saturday if my calendar is right. If it's not, I'll come back to you soon and I'll correct that date. But that is at this point. Panama 19 is February 16th departure date. We do a 7-day time commitment there. I will tell you, every time I go, I realize how much family we have in Panama, and how many of you just fell in love with Anna the first time you met her? Oh, yeah. Oh my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, she calls Gina and I mom and dad, and I'll take that. That's a sweet thing. It really is. It's very precious to us. We're going to receive, they don't know this, but we are going to receive an offering for them, and we want to make sure you have the opportunity to sacrifice and give to them. This goes to Bob and Mary, whatever their heart's desire is. You know, can I tell you something? Missionaries are not wealthy people other than in the spiritual realm. That's true. They are just not wealthy people. And Paul appreciated the churches that supported him. Paul did. He was in prison oftentimes when he was writing to thank someone, and Bob thanked you, and I can't thank you enough for the love that you've sent. If you've never been to Panama, Scott's going to go. If you've never been to Panama, if you've never been there before, this is a place that just got deep into our hearts, and you can't go there one time, Beth, without loving those children She had a child. She said, she's going to kill me because I called her name out. Here's Beth walking around Kirundu. Child in this arm, child in this arm, child holding onto this leg, a child holding onto that leg, and two children fighting over the legs, trying to still get a hold. And that's Beth walking around. And Bob said this to me. Can I tell you, the first Sunday, first time I ever walked into Kirundu, I see, this is how I meet Bob. I see a tall, thin man laying on the ground, the concrete, coloring with the kids. That was my first impression of Bob. It was amazing to me. That was just amazing to me. And the one thing he always tells me is, you tell your construction people, your medical people, and your children's ministry people, put your brushes down, put your hammer down, put your stethoscope down, put your everything, at some point put things down and just go play with the children. Go love on these children. Many of these children, this is the safest time. You've shared this with me, Bob and Mary both. This is the safest time they'll have in their day. And what these children go to back in their home is a tragic experience. And so this is the only time they'll have this kind of peace and this kind of safe contact with adults, perhaps, in their entire day. So that's the love of God this family has shown to the children and to the people of Kirundu, and we want to continue to partner with them. Father, we give you thanks for the sacrifice of those who go on our behalf, and some have gone temporarily on behalf, and some have gone and stayed on behalf. But we do it all in the mighty, transforming name of Jesus Christ. Bless them as we give this offering sacrificially in Jesus' name. Every believer said, amen. God bless you as you give. I'm going to stay up here and just tell you, if you're still writing a check, keep writing it, make it out to SCRC or St. Charles River Church. Whether you give a dollar, a quarter, it doesn't matter, or $500, it doesn't matter. Everything goes to Bob and Mary in this offering, and I just want you to know, everything is a blessing. Everything is a blessing. We've gathered today in the name of Jesus Christ, not just to do a rah-rah, but to actually lay down a plan for the next generation of Kirundu residents. You see, the next generation can be filled with Jesus, or it can be left again for another adult to look at us and say, what took you so long? When you told that story, it takes my breath away. We don't want to wait that long. This generation in Kirundu needs Jesus. I've met that generation. Many of you have actually hugged on that generation. And those little ones, as the Scottish, our favorite lady on a cruise ship said from Scotland, the wee ones. Get a snuggle from the wee ones. They come up and they grab those legs and they feel the safety in the arms of someone they've never met before. Because you see, they don't have an adult in their lives. They might have a 14-year-old sister raising them, or 14, 15-year-old mother raising them. It's a life-transforming thing. But if we were, just so you know, our mission statement here at SCRC is across the street and around the world. You check our materials out. It's on our website, across the street and around the world. And today, I just want to simply ask you to bow your heads. If you've come here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, I want to give you the opportunity to know the Jesus that we're talking about bringing to Kirundu. You see, he's just as relevant here in St. Charles as he is there. He's just as life-transforming here as he is there. And as the two shirts on our platform said, he's just as hope-giving here as he is there. And you know, it doesn't matter what culture you're in, we're all desperate for Jesus, whether we know it or not. We're desperate for him. If you need Jesus Christ, you want to give your life to Christ, no one's looking around. I'm just going to leave you sit right where you are. Just raise your hand, pull it right back down. I'm going to pray with you where you sit. Yes, I see that hand. Anyone else? Yes, I see. I see those three, four hands. I see anyone else. You just want to pray a prayer of faith five. Thank you. Thank you. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ because today God spoke something special into my life about your love, your kindness, and your mercy. Anyone else? I just want to pray with you where you're sitting. No one's looking around, and I'm not going to point you out or call you out. It'll just be between you and the Lord. Anyone else? Quickly. Okay. Heavenly Father, I just ask you right now that you give boldness to people as they pray this prayer of faith. I want everyone in the room to pray this prayer with me, and the reason for that is I want everyone in this room, especially if there's someone that wished they had raised their hand, they're going to pray a prayer of faith. I want them to boldly go before the Lord. And if they hear others praying, they're more likely to do so. So I want everybody to repeat after me, if you would. Heavenly Father, today I confess that I need a Savior, but I also need Lord. I truly need a Lord of my life. I'm asking you today because I recognize that I am in desperate need of you to forgive me of my sin, to forgive me of all of my sin in my past. I ask you to come into my life as my Lord and Savior today. I want to commit to you a new walk, a new effort, a new determination to give my life completely to you. So today, would you write my name in the book of life so that I can spend eternity with you? In Jesus' name, right now, I believe and I trust you that I am saved. Now give the Lord a huge hand. Would you do that? For those five that raised their hands, if you would come and talk with Pastor Carl and Kelly, or you can come and talk with Pastor Mike or myself. Pastor Bill is over here to my right. Raise your hand, Pastor Bill, to my right. And I know Pastor Mike is over here to my far left. If you would like to speak to any of the pastoral staff, Pam is over here. Pam was over here. She's out in the back, I guess, at this point. But you are welcome to come to any believer in this room, and we'll pray with you. Pastor Harvey's sitting right over here. Raise your hand, Pastor Harvey. There's just a bunch of believers that care that we can pray with you before the day is through. Pastor Rex is here still. He wanted to hang and see Bob and Mary today. Would you stand with me? We're going to dismiss. Father, you've been good to us. Thank you for today. Thank you for Bob and Mary, for the entire Gunn family. Bless Steve and his family as they continue to pastor Crossroads. Bless the church, Father. The economic things that are going on there in Panama, just beginning, and the things that the churches go through there in Panama, we ask that you'll use Steve and his family and Bob and Mary to speak faith into those pastors as they're challenged with those types of not just cultural challenges, but also financial challenges, as we have been through ourselves right here in the United States. I ask that you bless them and keep them and make your face to shine upon them. In the name of Jesus, favor all over the ministries of Kurundu, we pray. And every believer said, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming today. Give the Lord another huge hand before we go. Will you do that?
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.